Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Magazine, part two for you on this January 20th, 2023. Your host, James J. Mailoff here, and I am joined by our good friend Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning, James, and everybody in Radioland.
How have you been?
Oh, great, great. Weather's been mild, little snow, but... It almost feels like a little bit like March out there,
doesn't it?
Really,
it has that little bit of a
like
feel
like March
to it.
Madness, almost like the basketball tournament
yes,
should be starting.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk with you about the ice cutting event coming up January 28th.
Right.
Get into this. I was thinking about this and going through some old notes, and I want to say, Mike, one of the first times we got together for Morning Magazine was to talk about this event,
ice cutting. Yeah.
And Terry and I, off air, on air, and off air, were talking about this today because it's so cool to us, ice cutting. Cutting and the event, the art of it and everything, and how even today we still use this practice in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that even a few nonprofit organizations, volunteer firemen or something like that, still cut ice on a pond and then sell it for like people that are using it for summer picnics and that sort of thing. They can buy big blocks, you know, fairly reasonably. So it's still done to some extent. And of course, the Amish still use it because they don't use electricity and they're refrigerating like they did, 100 years ago.
I have to ask you, and I consider you, your family, friends of the station, friends of our community and everything, but I've got to ask you a serious question. Do you think you're a bad influence because your daughter just will keep jumping in ice now? She just keeps jumping in the water now.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see that, though. I was talking with her this week about it, the interesting connection there.
Well, they got that Red Bridge thing going that's just down probably a mile and a half from their house on Casimir Road, and... they cut out a big chunk in there, and then I think at least once a week or something, they're jumping in there or something.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about the kids jumping in yet, but I've seen pictures of Jason and Katrina and my other daughter, Christiana, jumping in there. So it's, I think, something fairly new. I think it's only maybe this year. Maybe they did a little bit last year, but that's the first I've kind of really seen pictures of and heard about it. But they're a little bit more polar bear than I am. I've almost fallen in a couple times, but that I got a foot wet. That was enough for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm 100% with you on that. When it comes to the event, let's tell people about that, especially anybody who has not been able to take in the event before.
Yes, this is part. We're part of Port Edwards Lions Fishery, and it's on Saturday this year. Now, this is a new thing for them because it has always been on Sunday, and next year it'll be on Sunday, but there were some circumstances that came up within the organization that made it more applicable to be on Saturday, January 28th, and it starts at 10 a.m. and it goes to 3 p.m., and they've got, you know, fishing contests for the biggest fish and all different kinds of things. They have a chili dump, and they have some food served and that sort of thing. Do a great job, and Port Edwards Lions, I can't shout out enough about them and what they do in the community and what they have done for probably 40 or 50 years within the community. A great organization, and I always told them, I said, if I wouldn't belong to Point Boss, I would belong to them because I really believe in them and what they do. So we're going to be a part of that, and our part of that is ice cutting. We, as you drive by, if you go on 13 and go across Snipco Lake, you'll notice that there's an orange fence there. We put it up about 3 weeks ago, and we got posts in there, and we're preserving that ice there. We shoveled it once. This afternoon, we'll go out and shovel again. So if you see some crazy people shoveling Snipco Lake, you know that it's Point Boss people out there. They're crazy. We just shovel it because we want to get the ice not insulated, so maybe it freezes a little deeper. This year has been a kind of an anomaly a little bit because of the warmer weather, which we've all enjoyed. But when we put the post in, it was 8 inches of ice about 3 weeks ago. And I imagine if it's 12 inches, it's probably a lot. And I haven't seen any vehicles on there. And usually it has to be 12 inches or more before vehicles will go on. So I'm thinking it may be a little thinner ice than other years, but then you just cut more blocks. I mean, we're kind of like farmers. I mean, we depend on nature. The farmer depends on the rain and the sunshine he gets. We depend on how cold it gets and what kind of ice-making qualities we have. And whether it's global warming or whatever it is, this year is going to be probably a little less. Last year we had 24 inches. Now we're going to get nowhere near that because I noticed in the forecast it gets in the single digits like next Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday morning it's like minus 3 or 4. But there's none of that before then. It's always like we've been having, you know, with the heavy cloud cast and everything like that. We've been getting, you know, 29, 30, 35 during the day and 24, 25 at night. So it's not making a lot of ice in this kind of weather. But we'll have plenty of ice to make, and we'll just make more of it is all. So,
what is the time frame for the event?
The Port Edwards Lions Fishery is 10 to 3. We cut from 10 to 1 pretty much. So we're on the ice and doing our thing from 10 to 1, cutting blocks, taking it off. This year, because of maybe the ice being thinner, we'll probably have to sled it off and load it on shore just because you don't want to take a chance somebody going through the ice with a vehicle. It's very expensive.
Yeah. there's a lot about the event, as you touched on, that is so much fun for everybody. Mm-hmm. Just focusing on your guys' part in it, when it comes to the ice cutting, how long did that take you to feel comfortable doing something like that, Mike? It's one thing if I'm, you know, I've been in the carpentry, I've been cutting stuff my whole life.
Sure.
My dad, one of the first things he did was teach me how to measure something out and cut it. And it's, I do that on land.
Yeah.
I do that on stable ground and everything.
Yes.
And I'm still, I still measure it out, you know, measure twice, cut once, that whole thing.
Right.
How did it go getting comfortable doing something like this? Or are you ever truly comfortable with something
like this? Well, you're comfortable in a sort. When you're on ice, you know, and we take it for granted, ice. You know, if you talk to somebody from the south or from a different country, they, you know, we had our local priest for years was from India and stuff like that. And you talk about ice, they can't conceive of it.
Yeah.
You're walking on the water, you know, sound like Christ again. Maybe Christ, maybe in the Sea of Galilee was iced over for some reason. But it's a thing you get fairly comfortable with after a while. You got to be careful around it because, you know, you could go on and where we cut, it has to be deep enough so our saws don't touch the bottom, and our saws are approximately 6 feet long. And I think I brought them in, I think, last year or something like that. And so it's got to be like 8 or 9 feet deep. So if you fall in, you know, there's always a chance. You dread that, you know, you hear those stories. I think James is here, where people get under the ice and they can't find where to get out. I mean, this is going to be a fairly big hole, so it should be easy. But we don't want anything like that to happen. We've only had one person, thank God, go in over the years, and they got out very safely. And unbeknownst to me, I was out, you know, stacking ice at the site in their ice house. That person came back after he dried off. I never would have came back. I mean, I would have stayed home. I figured, that's enough today. I've done my duty and due diligence. But he came back and he cut ice again and for longer in the day. But so you actually get fairly comfortable. And you wear ice cleats, you know, something that's you're not slipping on it. And you're careful around that. And we always, you know, have a perimeter where people can safely walk. And then, you know, we stage off that area so it's away from there a little bit, where we cut up the blocks a little smaller maybe and haul them off. So it's pretty safe. And last year we were very fortunate. We had a lot of public come and help us, which is a great help. I mean, especially when it was 24 inches, you know, our average age is probably 72 or 73. So it's a physical job. I mean, it's not like it's easy. You kind of look forward to it. But when you get done with it, you say, well, would I want to live in that era? I think I like interpreting, but I don't think I want to live there because it's a whole different ball game. I mean, a lot of people come with those romantic ideas. Oh, would you like to live, you know, during the Wake Clear? It seems so nice. You know, you got wood fires and you got all this, but no, it's a lot of work, a lot of physical work that we're not used to anymore.
I think, you know, we both consider ourselves students of history, lovers of history. One of the things that I enjoy about when I go down these rabbit holes and learning about ancestors or things of years past is the perspective I have of, wow, we got it better. We really, like, it gives you a little bit of appreciation of things nowadays and stuff.
Right. And I think the kids are always amazed, you know, by seeing this ice and not realizing that you didn't have refrigeration and freezers and that sort of thing. The same thing with when the kids come in the schoolhouse and they see our big old-fashioned hand-cranked phonographs with like a 78 and it's two sides, and they look at that and they wonder, you know, how's that like a CD or something?
Yeah.
You know, you only got one song on each side, and a DVD, you know, a CD's got, you know, like 10 or 8 or 10 on each side and that sort of thing. So it's always amazing to them, and I think that's why we enjoy working with the children so much, is because a lot of these things, unless they would see an actual application and would never know what it was like. You can see it in books and everything, but as you and I both know, I mean, a lot of that history is good, but, you know, doing it in actual fact or seeing it actually done is a whole different thing. So we invite, you know, anybody that wants to come out and view it, help with it. We certainly welcome anybody. Children, we usually have them doing some cutting the blocks smaller or doing some trimming off site, away from the water a little bit. But adults and everything, welcome, come in and cut and join us. And last year, like I say, we had at least a dozen people come in, and they stayed with us the whole time. A lot of people come in and do a half a dozen strokes, then they'll leave. But these people stayed, and they came down to watch us pack it, and it was really good. And this year we'll have a little different. I think we're going to have some hot chocolate down there. So if people want to come down and follow us through from the cutting to the packing away, they can come down to the site and, you know, probably after 1 o'clock and watch us pack it away. We're usually done by 3, so if they want to watch the packing process in the ice house and with the sawdust in between the layers and over the top of it, they can see that also. So
I can't prove it, but I guarantee that the person that fell in the ice and came back, that was a Wisconsinite. Yes. That's a Wisconsinite right there.
Well,
well,
originally, they've been Wisconsinites for a long time, but originally he's from outside Chicago area.
You like that. We're speaking with Mike Hittner about the Historic Point Bosses ice cutting event coming up Saturday, January 28th. Mike, when you first started doing this, what was one of the things that surprised you the most about ice cutting? And over the years, you hear from people that come to the event that are kind of blown away by certain parts of this event.
I think just the thickness of the ice some years, how 24, 28, 30 inches thick, how thick that ice gets and how heavy it is. You know, last year, 12 by 12 inch block, 24 inches thick, was 125 pounds. So if you're pulling those out or if you're stacking them or anything, after it gets more than waist high, it gets to be a bit of a project to do it. So when we get on towards the top more, we'll cut the blocks in half so we can, you know, deal with 65 or 70 pounds and not 125. But I think that and also the sheer physical labor. Mm-hmm. We have all our saws that have ice saws that have the proper kerf, which means the different blades are offset so that cuts a little bit more and a little more aggressively. And we have them oiled up and everything so they don't rust and everything. But just physically, I mean, if you got 24 inches of ice, you got to work at it quite a while.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a half a dozen guys there with ice saws working and they're coming from different directions, it'll seem to go fairly quickly. But with there's only a couple people cutting, it's a project. So,
I think for me, that was probably the biggest thing that has stood out. You know, last year when you guys brought the actual saws in the building and we were able to look at them and feel them and smell them and all that, I was blown away by the way that they built things to last back then, and some of the innovative, the creativity in the process and figuring things out and problem solving them. You know, nowadays we're so quick to just hit a search engine and look up something to how we fix something or something like that. You had to figure out what worked in real time and like, okay, well, this isn't working. And the thing that you mentioned about doing the saw blades a little differently, like that was probably trial and error.
Yeah, and the first few years we just, you know, got these antique saws and we oiled them up a little bit and used them, but we didn't have the kerf right. And I think actually it only cut by friction. So that means it was only cutting by heat. And so that was taking a really long time. But we have one of our members, Johan, that's really good with saws, and he got that kerf right. And now they're much more aggressive. So you're cutting by friction, certainly, but a lot more of it's by the actual cut.
I'm constantly reminded of this, and maybe no more than in this job than when you and I get together, of there was never a playbook given to us. You know, we've never had an instruction manual on this thing called life and how to do all this. And the things that we're so close to it, I think we forget sometimes of how darn amazing human beings can be and what we can do to make things happen.
Yeah, and we don't realize, you know, like when they used to deliver ice in the cities, you know, Chicago, probably even Rapids here at one time, you know, they had a little square that had 10, 25, 50, and 100 on it, and they just flip up on the top whichever mount they wanted. When the Iceman came by with his wagon drawn by probably horses, maybe certainly in the early years, they just look at how much you need, and then they'd take out a block of the appropriate size, and they had this leather kind of a apron on their shoulder, and they'd throw it on their shoulder with the ice tongs, and they'd walk up the steps or whatever. Could have lived on the third floor. You can imagine this was quite a workout. You didn't have to go to the YMCA in those days, for this guy anyway. on and got it and delivered it, and once a week or whenever their route was. And those, just like the milkmen, those horses that pull these ice wagons and milk wagons knew exactly where to go. If the guy wasn't the same guy, that horse knew where to stop for this house had service and that one didn't, and they went down the road just like that. And it's unbelievable how those horses got a real memory after a while.
It's remarkable. So many of these things, what we would do to just get simply ice to people.
Right.
As simple as that. We're speaking with Mike Hittner from the Store Point Boss. Going to take a very quick minute break, come back and have some more fun and conversation here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone. We're sitting here with our friend Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss. We're talking about the ice cutting event coming up Saturday, January 28th. And Mike, I want to talk a little bit more about that, and certainly wanted to, if you don't mind, preview the event you have coming up in February. So let's continue. Was there anything else that we could tell people about the event coming up this weekend? It's 10 to 1. It'll be over at the Historic Point Boss. The location, these things?
This will be at the...
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not at the Historic Point Boss. It's right at the I can't think of it.
Nacoosa Community Center?
Thank you. Yes. Man, it was just right at the tip of my tongue. I could not think of it.
Yeah, that'll be on February 18th. That's our winter feast, which is a true feast. In fact, we started at Beer and Community Hall and went to the Knights of Columbus. Now we're certainly at the Nacoosa Community Center, which is a great venue. I mean, beautiful. And, you know, hats off to Nacoosa for doing a wonderful facility that's so available to the public and so appropriate for what everybody needs. The beauty of that is we have wild game. We got beaver, one of those beavers, you know, James and audience. 45 pounds dressed. Can you imagine the size of that beaver? Like a little bear.
Like a little cub. Like, I've never heard of a beaver that big before. Yeah,
45 pounds, and we got beaver, and we got some bear. We got about 10 or 12 pounds of bear, and we got some venison, of course. Plus, we have chicken and ham for those, and everything is marked so you know exactly what you're eating or not eating, so you can pick and choose that way. So this is a fundraiser for us in FUN and FUND combination. We have some entertainment from Stevens Point, Ann and Don. They play guitar and violin, and they do a very good job, and they've been down at the site a couple times and played. And the dinner and everything goes like slick. We start at 4 o'clock, gathering time. People come around gathering. We got hors d'oeuvres, and we got hot apple cider, and we got, you know, sausage and cheese trays and that sort of thing. And then at 5, we get everybody seated, and then we go through the kind of the evening's arrangement, how we're going to do things. And then people start eating at 5, and then about, and we have some, you know, great prizes that people can win and raffle, that sort of thing. So evening goes very fast. We're done about 7:30, something like that, and people always have a good time and come down and really have a great time. The best part for us is we really enjoy it. We start cooking on Friday and then cooking all day Saturday, so we have some great cooks. Two or three of them are commercial cooks. Tom Bramer, Scott, and Jackie have done it commercially, so that's a good part about it. And they know these wild game recipes. Most people a little hesitant about wild game, but if it's fixed really right and it's hot, it's excellent. It's just, this fact is, it's got to be hot, and people got to know what they're doing. So it's a good chance if you like wild game, and it's kind of all you can eat. And then if there's anything left, we don't store it, so we put it in Ziploc bags and mark it, and then you can pick it up on your way home, and you can enjoy it again another time, so you can have seconds. So
that's a really nice added benefit of an event like this.
Right.
I know how often people like to try different meats and different foods and stuff, too, so that's a really cool part of this as well.
Yeah, and a lot of times people are kind of amazed that we hand it out, but what are we going to do with it? Can't save it for a whole year, and we don't. Unless it's something smaller like chicken wings or something we could fix for the summer event, we don't really have any way of using it again. So we pass it out and people take it home and they enjoy it. And it's very reasonable. $20 tickets are at Family Natural Foods, Daily Drug, and Beavers in Nacoosa. You can get them in advance at the door. They're $25. Very reasonable. Because I know there's a lot of things within our community that have fundraising, and a lot of those dinners are $40 or $50 or whatever. And this is, you know, we're trying to make this for the average person sort of thing. And normally about 125 people there, somewhere in that range. Everybody has a great time, and sometimes We might have some people from the Wakely family coming. We got very some cool family in New Mexico that was one of the Wakely heirs, and they written letters, Civil War era letters, back and forth, and they were talking about maybe possibly coming. We haven't heard yet, but that'd be an added bonus. We've had a few of them over the years that have come and spent the time with us, and we're always honored by that, of course. So,
you know, you can't go out to eat these days and not drop at least $20-$30. So right. This an event like this, not only are you probably spending less than you would and getting a great meal and a unique meal, but you can feel the added bonus of the dessert of, I just put back into my community, I'm helping the Historic Point Boss keep doing the great work that they're doing. You get that added kind of bonus to it.
And the nice part about it too, excuse me, James, is that in our garden this year, we tried to start raising things that we could use for this even. Mm. So we raised a lot of root vegetables, parsnips, rutabagas, all this sort of thing, turnips, and we're using those. We raised beans that we're going to make in some kind of a bean dish. And we saved those, so we're going to use those. We raised pumpkins. We had about 52 pumpkins, so we're going to have pumpkin bars as one of the desserts.
Hmm.
And squash, we had about 60 squash. So the squash that you get served in different forms is going to be squash from our garden. So a lot of this is what we raised in, on the site. The apple cider comes from our apple trees, the apples. So we're kind of playing it forward with everything we raise at the site. And we just started that about a year ago in our garden, just thinking to ourselves, we're raising a lot of not exotic things, but things that normally wouldn't be used or kept over. And we decided, shouldn't we be raising these things that we're going to use at Winter Feast or possibly could use there? And then we could tell people about that when they're eating that, hey, this is the stuff that we raised in our own garden.
Well, and it's just really goes hand in hand with what you guys do there, bringing history to life and showing, hey, this is how it was done by your ancestors and that. Yes. It's a little bit of a similar to that.
Right.
And I gotta say, and Mike, this is just between you and I. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of the audience. So just between you and I did not know you could eat bear.
Yeah,
you can eat bear. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, I guess, but I never heard of that. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
before.
You normally don't think of it too much because it's more of a, it's like saying you're going to eat lion, I guess, in Africa.
Right, right.
Certainly they eat lion, but it's something we don't think about because there's a limited bear hunt in the state of Wisconsin. I guess you got to almost go into a raffle to get a bear hunting license and everything like that. But one of our members got a bear this year, and then they donated us 10 or 12 pounds of bear meat. And so we get that once every 3-4 years or something, like somebody will get some bear, and then we'll make a special recipe. We'll roll it in cabbage leaves or whatever we do. Mm-hmm. Tom's got some very good recipes for
Tom's that, so. Great.
Yeah.
Please say hi to him and the rest of the staff over there for us, too. So this, again, Mr. Wakely's Winterfest is going on in the Nakusa Community Center Saturday, February 18th, 4 to 8. You can get tickets, again, at Family Natural Foods, Daily Drug. What was the other one?
Beavers.
Beavers,
Nakusa.
Yes. Got to mention Beavers. Great place. Great people over there.
Yes.
And then let's remind everybody again the details of the Wakely Ice Harvest.
The Ice Harvest is part of the Port Edwards Lions Fishery, and this year it'll be on Saturday, January 28th. And the fishery goes from 10 to 3. We're there from about 10 to 1. And you're welcome to watch us cut, help us cut, and help us transport, and or come down and watch us pack it away. And certainly invite you to little as much as you want to do or as little as you want to do. And certainly children are welcome. They just kind of cut a little bit away from the open ice. So.
And, you know, we're always looking for people to help you guys continue on what you guys do over there at Historic Point Boss. Not just volunteers, but people that maybe want to be a part of things on a more consistent basis. It's one of the greater ways to put back into your community and have some fun at the same time, learning a lot of things, having some perspective, all this stuff that comes with just putting time into the Historic Point Boss and keeping history alive over there.
Well, and you know, James, as with you've been involved so much in community theater over the years, that it doesn't really seem like you're doing a lot or it's taking a lot of time. But when you look back, it took quite a bit of time, but it's so much fun. You enjoy and especially for us, it's camaraderie, the people we work with and get to know on a personal basis beyond just, you know, professionally down at Point Boss and what they do and what they don't do. But it's that personal basis that really makes it, and that camaraderie that makes wanting us to go to the next thing because we're going to do the same thing again and enjoy each other.
I think it's a really good point. People are looking for ways to connect with others nowadays. Sometimes it's connecting with somebody you haven't seen in a while. Sometimes it's just making new friends.
Yeah. And it's a nice thing. We got a couple new members that are just new in the community. They wanted to get involved some way or another, and they came out, and both the husband and the wife now are both participating in our Monday workday and also interpretation. So that's great.
And as you can tell, this isn't something that is a huge time commitment. It's not going to take a big chunk of your day if you do put time in.
It's as much as you want to put in.
Yeah.
You know, we got little projects anywhere from an hour a month to some of you wanted to spend 10 or 12 hours a month. So that's the beauty of it.
And all year long, there are great events going on with Historic Point Boss. Encourage you to find out more about them. Help them keep history alive over there. You can find out more by going to historicpointboss.com. It's all one word, historicpointboss.com. Mike, if people do want to volunteer, they do want to know maybe some more about some of these events. Is there ways that they can reach you guys? Is there?
Certainly you can call me at 715-421-2061. Or Tom Bramer at 715-424-1656. And call us anytime. And if you wanted a little more personal knowledge of, you know, what can I do and what and where can I fit in, or if you just want to come down the site when we're doing an event and talk to us about it, you know, that's a great way too. And then you can kind of just drift around and find out what's to your liking and try it out.
Yeah. Mike, we can't thank you enough for the time and what you do for the community. Keep up the great work. Appreciate it very, very much. And do say hi to the gang over there for us. Yeah. One of these days when we have more time, I really want to talk with you about you. I want to know a little bit more about what got you into history and Historic Point Boss and that. I think that'll be another interview down the line.
Yeah. Thanks, James, and WFHR.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.